Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, April 11th, 2018, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast. Coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is The Timeline That Points to the End of Time. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord, there is so much going in this world today. In just the last week, Lord God, we need your help as never before, as it gets darker every minute of every day. Lord God, we ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit would fall upon this place this day and open the hearts of those that are cold, dead, and dying, and have them to receive your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, the only Savior of all mankind. For without him, there is no hope. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place upon the cross. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, we must first lay the groundwork for that which is just about to be shared. To begin with, our subject matter goes back to ancient times, even to a time many, many years before the birth of the Lord and only Savior of the world, who is none other than Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to begin at just a bit more contemporary place in time, the date that has been chosen by the Lord God to begin the telling of this bigger-than-life story is December 23rd, 2016. But before we go there, I must set the stage for you. So with that thought in mind, I will begin by pointing out that in just a mere 34 days from right now, Israel will be celebrating its 70th anniversary as a nation. In fact, they will be celebrating it as the only nation on earth of which the Lord God allowed to be dispersed among the nations and then to once again be regathered into their homeland on May 14th, 1948, which is the official date and that he, the Lord God, that is, reestablished the nation of Israel once again, as we shall see. Or as we shall say, my friends, a nation reborn or a born-again nation, if you will. Since the time Israel was once again set by the one and only true and living God of heaven among the nations in May of 1948, she has had trouble on every side, as you will soon begin to see and understand by way of scripture chosen by the writer of one of our pieces from today. But before we get to that, let me bring you up to speed. As I stated in the beginning, our scene concerning this amazing story opens on December 23rd, 2016. Now, you may be searching your memory banks to try and recall just what happened on December 23rd, 2016. But not to worry, for I am going to make it quite easy for you. December 23rd, 2016 was the day that the United Nations, or as it is also known, the UN, once more set yet another damning resolution against the tiny nation of Israel, of which our first piece of the day explains in few but powerful words and was written by Brandon Showalter, a Christian Post reporter, dated December 29th, 2016, of which is simply titled, Four Things to Know About December 23rd UN Resolution Against Israel, of which Mr. Showalter begins by stating, as President Obama finishes his final weeks in office, his actions at the United Nations last week, where the U.S. delegation refrained from vetoing a resolution condemning Israel, is causing quite a stir. Brandon continues by sharing, last Friday, on the eve of Hanukkah, the United States opted to abstain from using its veto power at the United Nations Security Council, allowing a resolution condemning the state of Israel to pass 14-0. The resolution, among other things, states that the Jewish settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem violate international law, saying that they have no legal validity and that those settlements are a barrier to peace in the region. Mr. Showalter says this historic decision is troubling. Notable members of Obama's own party, particularly Jewish Democrats, likewise many Christians supportive of Israel, are raising objections. Here are four things you need to know about the UN Resolution 2334 that was passed on December 23rd, 2016, where there has... First thing that you need to know, my friends, is there has not been a resolution of this kind at the UN in nearly 40 years, says the writer, who goes on to say, while the United States has backed UN resolutions criticizing Israel in the past, what sets this one apart from previous measures is its breadth and scope. Not since 1979 and 1980, during the Carter administration, has the U.S. countenanced a resolution that makes such sweeping claims against Jewish rights to the land. Under this resolution, strong disregard is shown for and to Judaism's holiest sites and the Jews who pray at the Western Wall. It implies that they are in violation of international law. At this point, Brandon goes on to reveal that some contend that this most recent move is especially dangerous given the rising climate of anti-Semitism occurring all over the globe. He says in a Wednesday post on their website addressed to UN Ambassador Samantha Power, UN Watch Executive Director Hillel C. Noyer said that the UN Resolution 2334 has emboldened Islamic terror groups like Hamas, and the United States has joined the jackals. Noyer continues by sharing, by enshrining in the text of the resolution the four June 1967 lines, which were Israel's internationally recognized border before the Six-Day War in 1967 began, the United States has reneged on its prior promises to Israel, he argued. Next, Brandon, the composer of this article, states, writing in Providence magazine Thursday, Anglican theologian Gerald McDermott, a professor at Beeson Divinity School in Alabama, noted that the resolution makes egregious allegations against Israel, including that it violates Article 49 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which prohibits forced deportations of people. This is ironic, McDermott said, because this convention was adopted to prevent crimes like the Nazi deportation of Jews to the death camps. The professor continues by pointing out, but no Israelis are being deported against their will. They are moving voluntarily, nor is any Palestinian Arab being deported or transferred, he added. At this point, the writer interjects, some contend President Obama orchestrated this move himself, pressuring nations to vote against Israel, according to the Times of Israel. Monday, Israel's ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, said in a CNN interview that it is an old story that the United Nations gangs up against Israel. What is new, he says, is that the United States did not stand up and oppose the gang up. And what is outrageous is that the United States was actually behind that gang up. Brandon further shares, similarly, in a Sunday CNN interview, Netanyahu's spokesman, David Keyes, said, we have ironclad information, frankly, that the Obama administration really helped push this resolution and helped craft it from sources internationally and sources in the Arab world. Vice President Biden was also apparently in on this, says the writer, pursuing Ukraine to vote for the resolution when they were considering abstaining, according to the Jewish magazine Tablet. The Obama administration wanted the optics of a unanimous vote, according to an unnamed source who Tablet called a highly placed figure within the Israeli government with strong connections to Ukrainian government sources. The Americans directly pressured the Ukraine delegation at the UN and Ukrainian President Poroshenko in Kiev, Ukraine's capital, to vote against Israel. That Biden told them to do it is 1,000% true, the source affirmed, the report said. Whether this is all true remains to be seen, says Brandon, who then goes on to say President-elect Trump attempted to thwart the resolution passing and is now saying he intends to undo these UN actions. The writer then shares, prior to the UN vote on December 23rd, Egypt had presented a resolution the day before condemning Israeli settlements. When the Egyptians requested a delay on the vote, another one was put forth, sponsored by New Zealand, Senegal, Malaysia, and Venezuela, which ultimately passed. As the New York Times reported last Thursday, says the writer, the president-elect and Egyptian president, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, spoke by phone after Israeli officials reached out to Trump for help. Shortly after the resolution passed, Trump tweeted the following, quote, as to the UN, things will be different January 20th. Mr. Showalter then states, on Wednesday, amidst the fallout over this move, Trump released two tweets in support of Israel. Quote, we cannot continue to let Israel be treated with such total disdain and disrespect. They used to have a great friend in the U.S., but not anymore. The beginning of the end was the horrible Iran deal, and now this, the UN. Quote, stay strong, Israel. January 20th is fast approaching, said then-President-elect Trump. Brandon then points out some suspect that Trump will pull U.S. funds from the UN, amounting to nearly a quarter of its operating budget. And to that, my friends, it is worth noting that in a Newsweek update reported by Nicole Goodkind, dated December 25th, 2017, she stated in her piece titled President Trump Cuts Funding to UN After Israel Vote, and pointed out that the U.S. was cheering a massive $285 million cut in the United Nations 2018 budget on Sunday, an announcement that comes days after that more than 120 nations criticized the United States for its decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. In an update to this article, it was further stated that the UN peacekeeping budget was reduced by $600 million earlier this year after Trump pressured cuts. The president and Haley also threatened to cut off funding to any country that voted in favor of a draft resolution that asked the United States to reverse its Jerusalem decision. This update further stated the United States will remember this day in which it was singled out in this assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation, said Haley ahead of the vote. Quote, we will remember it when once again we are called upon to make the world's largest contribution to the UN, and we will remember it when many countries come calling on us to pay even more to use our influence for their benefit. Meanwhile, back at Mr. Showalter's article, he continues by stating, additionally, Trump recently named David Friedman, a New York bankruptcy lawyer who served as his advisor on Israel during the campaign, as his choice for the U.S. ambassador to Israel. Friedman has said that he intends to carry out his new job from Jerusalem, lending further credence to the idea that the Trump administration would keep its promise to move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Yes, my friends, and that very event is scheduled for May 14th, 2018, on the 70th anniversary of Israel once again being placed in by the Lord God, by the one and only true and living God of heaven, my friends. Heaven, earth, and all mankind and Israel. The God of heaven, earth, all mankind and Israel among the nations in just 34 short days from now. Moving right along, this piece further points out that the move has divided Jewish Democrats, including some who have been strong Obama supporters. Alan Dershowitz, professor emeritus at Harvard Law School, has been one of the fiercest critics of this recent action. In a Monday Fox News interview, Dershowitz recounted that when Obama called him into the Oval Office to solicit his support for president prior to the 2012 election, he promised to always have Israel's back. Quote, I didn't realize what he meant is that he would have his back to stab them in the back, Dershowitz said. I supported his domestic policy. I liked him on Supreme Court appointments, but he created a terrible conflict for people, many like myself, liberal Democrats, who support his domestic policy but think he was an appalling president when it came to foreign policy, he continued. Moving forward, the writer also shares that former DNC head and Florida Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz also criticized the move. Following the vote, she said on her website, quote, It is baffling and unacceptable that the Obama administration would abstain on this blatant attempt to internationalize this conflict and perpetuate the UN's atrocities and biased record against our true and dependable ally in the Middle East, the state of Israel. Simply put, today's vote did nothing to bring us closer to a lasting peace. Instead, she says, it has accomplished just the opposite. Mr. Showalter continues by stating that yet others have appraised this move as a positive development. J Street, a liberal Jewish advocacy group that is an ardent proponent of the two-state solution, welcomed the resolution. The quote, the resolution is consistent with the longstanding bipartisan American policy, which includes strong support for the two-state solution and clear opposition to irresponsible and damaging actions, including Palestinian incitement and terror, as well as Israeli settlement expansion and home demolitions, the group wrote on their Facebook page. My friends, I have said it in days gone by recently, and I will now say it again here today. We are at the end, and we shall not begin again. The things that the Obama administration, as well as many others, have put in place concerning Israel were and are being allowed by God. Why? Because he uses the words and actions of mankind to further his plan, of which was laid before the foundations of this present world were formed and will soon be fulfilled, including that which is stated in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, concerning Syria, of which the word of God states, quote, the burden or the prophecy of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Have you ever looked at Damascus? And something yet worse is coming on the way, my friends, that it will never be inhabited again. And it is one of the oldest cities upon the face of this planet, and has existed all this time. So it shows you that the time for its destruction, its complete and total destruction, is at hand. As well, my friends, as the imminent war of Gog and Magog, better known as the War of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and can be read about in part in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 5, where Ezekiel states, quote, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, which is Iran, my friends, Ethiopia and Libya, with them, all of them with shields and helmets. And in Ezekiel 39, verses 1 through 5, the Lord God continues by saying to Ezekiel, "Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I, says the Lord God, will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord." It is on the way, my friends. Everyone who knows anything to do with the prophetic word of God hears it, sees it, and is repeating it daily. The war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is on the way. My friends, it is this type of inaction that will bring, mark my words, soon and very soon, it will usher in Satan's Antichrist beast, the mark of the beast, a one-world system, and false prophet. And when it is all said and done, my friends, those who were ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ to appear in the rapture will have gone with him. And when the Antichrist beast and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire alive at the end of the time of great tribulation, as the word of God states, the house of Israel, that the word of God will, that the Lord God, rather, will have hid away during the time of Jacob's or Israel's trouble, of which takes place simultaneously during the outpouring of the wrath of God in the time that is as well known as the time of great tribulation. They will walk face to face and hand to hand, so to speak, with their Messiah, who is Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, God's anointed one, for 1,000 years, my friends, in what is called the millennial kingdom time, where we who are ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ and to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air at his coming in the rapture, we will also be there ruling and reigning with him. Jesus, that is, during the same period of time as the Word of God states. And on that glorious note, I shall be right back after the break to continue moving through the timeline that points to the end of time.
Praise the God of Israel, he's the bright morning star.
Praise Yeshua HaMashiach. My friends, Jesus is God's anointed, and he is on his way. Okay, my friends, let us now, as I said just before the break, continue to move forward through the timeline that points to the end of time by taking a look at another piece of the puzzle that is just about finished and ready to be unveiled. That was written by Mr. Adam Eliyahu Berkowitz, dated January 5th, 2017, titled Biblical Origins of the 70 Nation and Anti-Israel Paris Conference, of which Mr. Berkowitz begins by sharing a scripture that states, "Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more remembered in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." Psalms 83:1-5. Moving ahead, Adam, who is the writer, begins his piece by stating, "High-ranking officials from 70 nations of the world will gather in Paris on January 15th, this was in 2017, my friends, in an attempt to force Israel to accept a two-state solution with the Palestinian Authority. By doing so, they will be fulfilling a momentous biblical prophecy foretold thousands of years ago," says Mr. Berkowitz, who goes on to say, "When Israeli statesman Shimon Peres passed away in September, leaders and dignities from 70 nations gathered in Jerusalem to pay their last respects. The symbolism is no mere coincidence. The very same number of representatives will gather in Paris, but this time to deny the Jewish connection to the land of Israel." The writer continues by stating, "Everyone knows already what the purpose of the conference is. It will be used as another opportunity to try to impose a settlement on Israel and avoid direct negotiations between Israel and its neighbors. Rabbi Abraham Ari Trugman, director of Or Chadesh Torah Institute, told Breaking Israel News. What's interesting is that it isn't just one or two enemies with a specific grudge, like the Arabs or the Nazis. It is 70 nations, which in Torah terms means all the nations of the earth, my friends, explained by Rabbi Trugman. Rabbi Shimon Aspdorf, a prominent Jewish educator and best-selling author, told Breaking Israel News that seeing 70 nations written in the headlines caught his attention. There is no question that the aspect of specifically 70 rather nations gathering is significant. The point being, Israel is not one of them, said Rabbi Aspdorf, citing the book of Numbers that says, "Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Numbers 23:9. Moving to the end of this piece, my friends, we read, in the wake of the recent United Nations Security Council Resolution 2334 declaring Jewish housing in Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem to be illegal, the outcome of the Paris conference seems certain. A two-state solution would call for Israel to relinquish territories conquered in the 1967 Six-Day War and subsequently create a Palestinian state. This would include establishing a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem, thereby removing the Kotel, in other words, the Western Wall, and the Temple Mount from Jewish control. This piece goes on to say, it is unclear whether the 800,000 Jews living over the 1949 armistice lines, comprising approximately of 13% of Israel's Jewish population, will be required to relocate, as they were when the Israeli government dismantled the communities of Gush Katif in the Gaza Strip in 2005. Even if the 70 nations at the conference decide in favor of the two-state solution, it is unclear how this plan will be practically implemented. On January 20th, 5 days after the conference is set to take place, Donald Trump will take the seat in the Oval Office, and he has already made it his opinion clear that, like Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he believes the only solution to be face-to-face negotiations without preconditions between the Israelis and Palestinians. With that said, my friends, from there, the situation seemingly only gets worse. Why? Because on December 1st, 2017, the next vote taken up by the UN was overwhelmingly passed and goes like this. In a piece written by Tova Lazaroff of the Jerusalem Post, dated December 1st, 2017, titled 151 UN states vote to disavow Israeli ties from Jerusalem. Of which Tova begins by stating, this comes as the Trump administration considers moving its embassy to Jerusalem. The UN General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to disavow Israeli ties to Jerusalem as part of the six anti-Israel resolutions it approved on Thursday in New York. The vote was 151 in favor and six against, with nine abstentions. The resolution came as the Trump administration was rumored to be actively considering relocating its embassy to Jerusalem. The president has said that he has given serious consideration to the matter, and we're looking at it with great care. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert said. She added that U.S. President Donald Trump had until December 4th to make a decision on the embassy relocation or waive the matter for another 6 months. In New York, only 6 countries out of 193 UN member states fully supported Israel's ties to Jerusalem. Canada, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, the United States, and Israel itself. The 9 countries who abstained were Australia, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Honduras, Panama, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, and South Sudan, not to mention Togo. The resolution stated that any action taken by Israel, the occupying power, to impose its laws, jurisdiction, and administration on the holy city of Jerusalem are illegal and therefore null and void and have no validity whatsoever. Okay, from there, my friends, we move to a piece written by Mark Lander of the New York Times dated December 6th, 2017, titled Trump Recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's Capital and Orders U.S. Embassy to Move, of which states Washington. President Trump on Wednesday formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, reversing nearly 7 decades. That's 70 years nearly, my friends, at that time. And we're now at that 70th year of American foreign policy, he says, and setting in motion a plan to move the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to the fiercely contested Holy City. Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital, Mr. Trump said from the diplomatic reception room of the White House. This is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. It is something, he said, that has to be done. My friends, never better said. For God has placed President Trump in the White House for such a time as this. And he is right when he says it's something that had to be done. Continuing on, Mark, the writer, states the president cast his decision as a break from with decades of failed policy on Jerusalem, which the United States, along with virtually every other nation in the world, has declined to recognize as the capital since Israel's founding in 1948. That policy, he said, brought us no closer to a lasting peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. In his piece, he further shares this statement. Quote, it would be folly to assume that repeating the exact same formula would now produce a different or better result, Mr. Trump declared. Recognizing Jerusalem, he added, was a long overdue step to advance the peace process. Oh, yes, my friends, President Trump had that exactly right as well. For the actions being set in place right now will most certainly advance the peace process. That, my friends, would be the complete and perfect soon coming shalom, which is to say the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding and belongs to God and can only be obtained by way of a personal relationship in good or right standing with his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord and only Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. This shalom, my friends, or perfect peace of God, is as well developed and cultivated as one walks in the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit as they keep their eyes upon the Lord and only Savior, who is Jesus Christ, and know God's Word, know it well, and know it correctly for themselves. Moving ahead, it was further stated in this article that Mr. Trump emphasized the domestic political dimension of the decision. He noted that he had promised to move the embassy during the 2016 presidential campaign, and added, while previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. Or could that read, my friends, I am? As when Moses asked God what his name was, he said, I am that I am. And that means today, I am that I am is delivering, because at no other time in history has it ever come to pass, and now is the perfect time. Next, we have what is about to happen either today or tomorrow, which is found in this piece written by the Times of Israel, dated April 4th, 2018, and is titled Cup of Trembling, UNESCO Set to Pass Most Extreme Jerusalem Resolution Next Week. My friends, this goes on to outline the fact that over the period of years, they are in this resolution they want to pass today or tomorrow. They want to roll up every single resolution that they have brought against Israel, which at the major ones have been at least 10 to 20 in over the years since they were a nation. And they want to roll them all up into one little package, and they want to sneak them through the back door in this resolution that they're going to pass today or tomorrow. And the unfortunate thing is that it says that UNESCO's executive board, of which is who will be hearing this resolution proposal, it consists of 58 member states, including more than a dozen Arab and Muslim states. And that last October, the U.S. and Israel decided to withdraw from UNESCO, citing, among other reasons, the body's anti-Israel bias. So, my friends, it goes on to say that our goal as America and Israel, our goal in the transition year until the final disengagement from UNESCO, is to prevent the passing of resolutions by consensus that are unacceptable to Israel. And that is what we are currently attempting to achieve, says the rabbi, Shama Ha Cohen. My friends, all of the gist shared is to serve as a wake-up call to all within the hearing of my voice, and is being presented here today on the request of the Lord God. For these are not my words, but prophetic words from the Lord as to how close we are to the return of his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. Where those who are ready, watching, waiting, and praying will at his appearing be forever changed in the twinkling of an eye. As for those who are not ready, in their heart, they knew to be ready, but they were not. They will be left behind to believe the lies of the Antichrist, beast, and false prophet, and will be the first in line to receive the mark of the beast, of which the Bible states, in the taking of, will forever do, will forever doom the soul who takes it. And their last stop will be the lake of fire forevermore. Not my words, the very words of God. My friends, with the headlines such as these that I'm about to share with you, for the people who know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for themselves, it tells us that, my friends, it tells us just what time it is on God's prophetic timepiece, of which is powered by way of that which is now taking place in Israel and throughout the Middle East. But Israel is God's timepiece. And they are who was, is, and will always be the apple of God's eye. And this is what the Lord God wrote in his word to the nations concerning it. Israel, that is, the apple of God's eye. And it can be found in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, of which states, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory has sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you," speaking of Israel, my friends, "toucheth the apple of his eye. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory has he sent me unto the nations which spoil you." Only 6 out of 193 stood with Israel. "For he that toucheth you in any way, shape, or form," my friends, "that is against God's will, toucheth the apple of his," or God's, "eye." Now, for the headlines, my friends. And they tell us that we need to know. Oh, my friends, you probably do not get what I'm saying if you're not being pricked in the heart right now from the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. And if you're not, woe be unto you. Now for the headlines that tell us that we need to know just where we will spend our eternity. And it only spans less than a week, my friends. And it starts with what is happening at this moment. April 11th, 2018, Russia prepares for nuclear war with U.S., instructing citizens to buy water and gas masks. April 11th, developing series of quakes shake California and Alaska, promoting fears of a large event. April 11th, 2018, Saudi Air Defense Forces intercept missile over Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. April 11th, 2018, Russia warns it will shoot down U.S. missiles fired at Syria and attack launch pads. April 11th, 2018, Trump warns Russia to prepare for missile strikes in Syria. April 11th, 2018, Israel warns, quote, "If Iran acts against Israel, we'll topple Assad," which is the president of Syria. April 11th, 2018, U.S.-led coalition warplanes seen flying over Iraq border as nerve gas counterattack looms. April 10th, 2018, Syrian missile strike within hours. East Mediterranean on high alert for possible launch. April 10th, 2018, Russia jams U.S. drones in Syria. April 10th, 2018, U.S. Navy destroyer armed with Tomahawk missiles arrives off Syrian coast, harassed by Russian war planes. April 10th, 2018, top Iranian officials warn that Israel attack will meet with response. That has already taken place, my friends, and now they wait. April 9th, 2018, Ambassador to UN Nikki Haley, U.S., will respond to Syria attack. April 9th, 2018, Trump warns of major decisions in coming hours. April 9th, 2018, Iran warns U.S. of response stronger than they imagine if Trump scraps nuclear deal. And it goes on and on and on. April 5th, leaders of Russia, Iran, and Turkey hold meeting together. There is the starting of the coalition of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, my friends. And this is their second meeting together. My friends, today is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord God tells us, now is the time to seek the Lord while he may be found. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul speaks, telling us the plan of God's salvation. And it is this, that if thou shall confess with thy mouth or your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or right living in Jesus Christ is what I always like to say, my friends. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, says the word of God. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my friends, as for those who do not believe in being saved, or being saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, this will be their final destination. And it is found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and states, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, today is the day that you need to seek the Lord. Tomorrow may never come for you. And if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you leave this earth, you will end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. And with that said, it is a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee shalom, peace, my friends. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?